Sábado. Very honored to you, and I'm very appreciative that you allowed me to speak to you today. And I want to talk to you today about stepping out in faith. And this is one of my favorite topics because it's something that we all have done at one time or another, or will do, or maybe we are facing that situation today. It's an interesting topic because sometimes it's scary when we have to step out of faith. We face scary or frightening options. But on other occasions, stepping out of faith can be exhilarating. It can be fun. It can really give us a rush. But I think in all cases, stepping out of faith, I think we'll all agree, it makes us better people. This leads to growth in our character, and also hopefully it increases our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God told Abraham, he called him and he said, "Give me your son, your only son." And Abraham said, "Yes, I think he answered affirmatively." Then God also called, you remember, Moses, and he told him, "Bring my people out of Egypt." And Moses was not exactly like Abraham. He hesitated at first, but then by faith, he also said yes, and he led the people of Israel out of Egypt. David is an interesting case because he didn't wait for God to call him directly. David just noticed that God needed somebody to fight Goliath. And remember, David simply volunteered. He said, "I'll go." And he told Goliath, "I come to you in the name of the God of Israel." So that was an interesting example, I thought, because it was an interesting example for us, because David saw the need. And I think that's the example, that's the kind of person that we need today in our churches. People who not only answer the call, but people who go the extra step and just notice what the need is in the people of God in the church and then do it. Someone said, and this is a quote, "God calls us when we need something done, but the problem is, we don't always answer the phone." And I thought that was interesting because we're always in a hurry to answer the cell phone. But today I wanted to talk or think about, how do you answer when God calls you? As an example, I want to look at the case of a very young lady in the Bible who received a call from God to perform a very important job. But, and this is a big but, at the risk of losing everything, including her life. How many of you know who I'm speaking about? Are you on the front of it? Yeah, most of you, right? Destiny. And of course, the story of this young lady includes one of the most celebrated passages in the Bible, and that is Esther chapter 4, verse 15. All of you remember that? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, her uncle. "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." That was a determined young lady. She was stepping out in faith, and she said, "If I die by answering God's call, then that's it. So be it. I will die." So Esther is the just to refresh your memory. I know you all know the story. Esther is the biography of a young orphan girl who was raised by her uncle. She was orphaned on both sides, no dad, no mom. Suddenly, she struck favor of her death and the death of the entire community, Queen Esther is warned by her uncle that she has two options. Remember those. She can try to protect herself by saying nothing, and allow God to send another deliverer from another place, another way to let somebody else do that, or she can risk her own life for the chance to save the people. In other words, she can act on her own behalf, or she can act on God's behalf. What will it be? And, folks, this drama brings us to our key passage for today, and that is also in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Where it says, for if you remain silent, and this is her uncle Mordecai speaking, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position in such a time as this. Her uncle Mordecai is reminding Esther that God has given charge of all the events from the very beginning of the life. God gave Esther the beauty that she had, the grace that she had. He gave her the chance to participate in that beauty pageant, to become queen, and he also made her queen. In case Esther had the idea that this was all something that came to her naturally, her uncle is telling her, everything you've had and anything you've done up to this point has been given to you by God. How many of you can say that anything that you have has been given to you by God? I think all of us, right? Okay. He's also telling her that God loves his people and he will deliver them with or without her. So now Esther has to make a choice. She can watch as God calls a deliverer from another place, or she can step up and accept God's calling. Simple as that. Two options. He reminds her that it's quite possible that this one moment in her life is the reason that God allowed her to become queen. This is, God has prepared you, Esther. Everything you've done for you up to this point could be because he was preparing you for this point in your life. And I would say that this situation is exactly the same for us. Example for us. God loves the sinners in the world today and is calling each one of us to participate in saving the sinners of the world, the lost of the world, from the kingdom. And the other thing that's interesting is that God will save who you will save with our participation or without our participation. It's just a matter of which. How we're going to respond to this call. We can sit back and allow God to find another person to fill our role, or we can step out in faith and obedience and yes, and say, yes, God, I will obey you. So God chose Esther to save people, God's people back then, and he's also asking us to do the same for his people today. And we have the same choice. So let's reflect for a moment on how these calls from God can come to us today. Sometimes the call can come quite suddenly, and we have to react quickly. We have to think quickly and act quickly. And this is exactly what happened to a young lady in Chicago who was riding on a train one day on her way to work. And let me just read the story to you so you can hear it. Her voice. It says, one guy, the bigger one, picked up the other guy and pinned him to the door very hard. I saw the bigger guy turn very fast, and this all was happening so fast that it was hard to see exactly what was happening. third pass, the pass was expressed, and I thought that he was throwing the victim off the train. Then I see the captain shaking the victim over the low hanging rope that swung between the cars. And she, I called out to the other passengers, a fight, trying to get their attention. But sadly, nobody listened. I saw the guy bring the victim to the other side of the car and shake him some more over the guardrail. And we were getting really close to the next stop. Then I saw the assailant come again. Now he had the victim with his back pinned to the door on his, of my, the car I was riding in. So I yanked open the door, and another shot awaited me. The victim was a child, an 11-year-old boy. The attacker was muscular and only 6 feet tall. The speed of events after that moment was not permitted to size up the two people. But without thinking, or maybe thinking very fast, I yanked open the door and yelled, "Come here, come here," as I told the boy toward me. Inside, I sat the boy down and asked him to reach where his mother was and where he lived. But the boy didn't stop and he could only mumble. To my amazement, I noticed that the boy was still drinking his cell phone, so I suggested that he call home. The boy couldn't speak, so he just handed me the phone. And he dialed his mother. His mother answered and said, "Hey, baby." And I told him, "I'm Jesse. I'm a teacher with your son. He's okay." And I started to explain what happened next, but then the reception was lost. The assailant didn't follow us into the car, but I did see a man looking at us through the door. So at the next stop, I led the boy to a transit police station. And I just told the boy, "Just stay with me." But he ended up grabbing my hand anyway. His arms were bruised from the demand to grab him. The policewoman was very kind. The boy told her his name. He spoke so softly that she had trouble understanding. Later, he told the police that he and a friend had been playfighting and that the friend had accidentally struck the man. The man who had been struck asked the boy, "Did you see that?" When he said no, the man grabbed him. This is a deep story of a young lady in Chicago who came upon a situation where she had that very quickly. And I think this is the kind of situation that Teddy Roosevelt had in mind when he said, "I'm going to quote, in any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The worst thing you can do is nothing." Teddy Roosevelt. But let's return to Esther again. She is given an ultimatum by her cousin. She faces a heavy decision. She can let God use her, or she can watch somebody else take it. So, I'm going to ask you to picture yourself or put yourself in that situation for just a moment. The ultimatum is given to you. You stand at your own personal moment of decision. You know that God is calling you to do something for the church or for the people. And so the question is, will you take the courage and respond affirmatively, knowing that God has a plan for you in a good direction? Or do you take that and let somebody else answer that question? Esther had a very interesting life, but the most favor of the person that, it's a young mother, that, wrote, she said, "Listen to encourage, my son, my young son's father on the piano. I took my boy to a Paderewski concert. After he was seated, I found a friend in the audience and walked down the aisle to meet her. And meanwhile, seizing the opportunity to explore the concert hall, my little boy wandered off and eventually passed through a door marked, 'No admittance.' When the headlights, I'm sorry, when the house lights dimmed and the concert was about to begin, I returned to my seat and discovered that the crowd was missing. Then suddenly the curtain parted and the spotlight focused on the impressive, shining piano on stage. And to my horror, I saw my little boy sitting on the keyboard, innocently picking out simple bass guitar. At that moment, and it seems like it's clear here, the great piano master made his entrance, moved quickly to the piano, and whispered in the boy's ear, 'Don't quit, keep playing.' Then he leaned over, got into down in his left hand, and began filling in the bass part. Then in his right arm, he added a running open doctor. And if you want to know what a running open doctor is, ask Jeff Smith or Burn Up the Court. Together, the old master and the young boy transformed a frightening situation into a delightful experience that left the audience amazed. My point is that whatever moment of decision you may be facing, however scary you are going to go, remember that God will always be there whispering in your ear, 'Don't quit, keep praying.' You are not alone in that moment of decision. Together, you and God will transform your difficult situation into a demonstration of your great power. After doing it, you can do it. Together, you will amaze the world with your second faith. So, question: what are we going to do when we face a difficult call from God? Well, we'll do like the little boy. We'll keep praying, and we won't quit. Thank you for your time.